Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is NFL Draft Week as well. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the NFL Draft as it mercifully is here coming up on Thursday this week. Joe, we've almost made it. It's almost draft time.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. But more mock drafting. More mock drafting ahead before we get there.
Mock draft season is not yet over. Joe, I've discovered that Titans news typically comes out like, what, 30 minutes, 45 minutes after we're off the air? It's typically how this has worked as of late.
No fair.
I know, it's ridiculous. We got off the air on Friday, and I think it was like literally 20 minutes later, Ryan Tannehill comes out with this Instagram post where it just says recharged and it tags Celsius, which is apparently an energy drink, in the photo. And it's a photo of Tannehill on a boat in the middle of the ocean. He's fishing and he's got his nice Celsius energy drink posted up next to him while he's fishing. And I knew as soon as that happened that Jared was going to go crazy with it. He texted me, told me he was doing 4 hours on it on Friday, and I think he did do 4 hours on it on Friday for the most part.
Seriously?
I think so. I think it was pretty close to it. So,
I almost want to go back and listen now.
So what are your thoughts on the Tannehill situation? Obviously, we've talked about him not showing up to voluntary workouts. There have been Titans fans that have had a variety of different opinions on that. Some think it couldn't matter less. Some are very disturbed that he's not there for voluntary workouts. And now he's posting Instagram ad photos on Instagram of who knows when the picture was taken, but it was optically a very bad look, according to some Titans fans. What are your thoughts on the Tannehill situation? And is this Tannehill maybe shoving it to everybody saying, you know what, I don't care what you think. I'm out here doing what I want.
Yeah, my first thought on this is tip of the cap to Ryan Tannehill because it made me laugh and you knew it was going to create just a firestorm on the internet. Now, apparently, a lot of things can create a firestorm. Apparently, now, by the way, on the internet, people are freaking out because Steve Martin did a King Tut sketch in the 70s when like the King Tut exhibit was hugely like a big thing. And it was apparently this is like a big thing. So a lot of things can become firestorms on the internet. I knew Tannehill would become firestorm on the internet. And like you said, this is a sponsored ad. So I suppose it could just be bad timing, but probably not. Right. I mean, it seems to me like Tannehill's making little statements to the haters. And honestly, again, I laughed out loud when I saw it. It really doesn't bother me. If it bothers anybody in the building, like I could see Vrabel at least rolling his eyes at this, like, okay, why? You know, I saw what AJ Brown tweeted something and deleted it. Right. Is that right?
Yeah. It was like something to the effect of LOL. That was bad timing or something. And then deleted the tweet.
Which is funny, and he should have just left it up.
I tell you what, AJ Brown is a pro at deleting tweets. He is. He's very good at deleting tweets.
Yeah, but deleting tweets means nothing. We all still talk about it.
I know.
It's. There's no point. again, like with everything, I think of this differently. I think this is funny. I think it's Tannehill having some fun. And if I was Tannehill, honestly, I just care. I do. I care about the guys in the building. Now, the thing is, not showing up for voluntaries again. Mike Vrabel last week, he's got it. Now he's got to field a Tannehill question and talk about it, and other people talk about it for Ryan Tannehill. And every time that he's not there and somebody else is there talking for him, well, that's an annoyance that he created for them. I think it would be better for him to be there than to not be there. This, though, actually, I think it's pretty sweet. I mean, because, you know, it like if you're worried, I think you should show up and you should worry about the people in the building, and the people in the building are there right now. So you should be with them. The people outside the building, I mean, I think you should be answering questions. I think you should take accountability. But if you want to troll the people who have been trashing you for 3 months right now with that, I say thumbs up.
Well, there's the theory out there that this is like a photo that was taken a couple of months ago, and now it's just now being posted by, you know, the sponsored ad or whatever. I am choosing to believe and hoping to believe that this was posted directly after it was taken while he was still on the boat. That's what I'm choosing to believe in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so too. I would love to think that he actually was on the boat sending this out, you know? Like they had to somehow find a signal. Like, we need to get this on Twitter right now. What, it was Insta. Is it Insta?
Oh, yeah. He's got a boat with Wi-Fi for sure, right? Make that much money. You can find some Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
on a boat.
I guess you're right. I would hope so. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes the seas can be rough. Winds and whatever, you know. Someone on the text line, Tannehill doesn't need endorsements. Dude has 40 million plus in the bank. Okay, well. You know, does that mean that, I mean, there's lots of people who have a lot more money than that who still do endorsements because why not make more money? Needs to redistribute his funds to AJ via Instagram posts. I think it's quite funny. I think it's quite funny. And I got to think most of the guys in the building thought so too. Now, if that wasn't the case, if there's some, you know, there's some Titans who are at the building saying, oh, I'm already out here voluntarily busting my butt, and there's our quarterback out there deep sea fishing. You know, I suppose if that's the case, well, then that's one thing. But most of the guys who would even have the capital to say that aren't there either.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, if you've, you know, how does Kevin Byard feel about it? I don't know. I don't know if Kevin Byard cares one way or the other. I mean, Kevin Byard apparently just loves being in there, and all he does apparently all offseason is watch film. So no wonder he's so good as he is.
Loves ball.
He loves ball.
Loves ball.
I don't think there's any question about that. At the end of the day, do the Titans players in the locker room really care about this? Probably not. Although, like, Jared was convinced on Friday this is like some middle finger to Vrabel and the Titans and everybody else.
Oh.
It was awesome. Loved it.
Come on. He said it. He said that this was Tannehill telling the team and Vrabel to take a hike.
He said a lot of things, but one of the things that was my favorite was the you know, the Vrabel comments on him wanting to be there. Like, he wishes every player was there. That, like, Tannehill took that, I guess, as a shot at him, and he was just like, you know what? I'll show you, Vrabel. I'm out here on the boat fishing. Screw you. You can have your voluntary workouts. I'll be out here fishing. We'll see you later.
Jared is writing a really bad soap opera in his own head. Like, this is like a really bad, like, football show on like HBO from the 80s, you know? Like, Jared, yeah, I did hear, like, Jared has this whole thing, like, somehow he read into Vrabel's comments the other day that he's furious.
Yeah.
I think you're taking some creative license there. And I'm not saying that, I mean, I take Vrabel at his word. I think he'd like everybody there. And again, I'm sure he's annoyed. Because the pre-draft press conference, you know, some of the questions didn't have to do with, you know, draft stuff. Not that Vrabel wouldn't have been annoyed by the draft questions as well. But, yeah, that's just, come on, man. You're taking some liberties with the information that you have. You are taking some liberties. If you think this is Vrabel taking a shot and now Tannehill saying, hey, Vrabes, read between the lines, baby. Come on.
Hey, I'm just glad Tannehill's recharged. It's good to see him charge back up, and I'm sure he'll be back in the building soon, ready to sling that thing around. If you're a Titans fan, you should be excited. He's drank some Celsius this offseason, and now apparently he's ready to go.
Yeah, what is that, by the way?
Energy drink. Never had it. Couldn't tell you.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
Celsius.
That's good.
Drink them every afternoon instead of a coffee.
There you go. Michelle loves it.
God, I hate all those things.
You haven't tried it, so how do you know?
Well, that's true. The ones that I've tried, I think, are disgusting. So you're telling me this one's good?
Yep.
All right, Tannehill. Good job, buddy.
Ron.
You're slinging a good product and having some fun.
Ron on the text line says, when Tannehill finally comes out to talk to the media, he should bring a chair and stay a while because it might turn into a roast. This is coming from Ron on the text line. You ready for the roast of Ryan Tannehill, Joe Rexroad?
Not per Jared, because these soft Nashville media won't. I mean, honestly, I would actually it won't happen because a lot of people would laugh at me, but I would say, you know what, guys, let's all just sit here and let Jared ask the questions for a few minutes. Let's just see what happens. Well, he will, though, in all seriousness, he will be asked. He will be asked about this now.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be interesting, you know. It will be an interesting press conference. I'll give you that. I don't think it's going to be some screaming affair, although who knows? Maybe Tannehill is a sign of a new big bad Tannehill is just going to come out. He's going to act like Baker this year, you know? Maybe that's what this signifies.
Maybe so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Seltzerland turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise coming up on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most Insta-worthy moment. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to the GameNashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into 103.3 The Sideline. We're talking about who else other than Ryan Tannehill, yeah. Or as Big Raz likes to call him, crying over the hill.
Yeah, that's what I call him. That's what
I
call him.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I have had it up to here with this guy. I mean, can you believe this guy? Ugh. The gall of him to use social media. Mm-hmm. Just completely tone deaf. Just posting literally anything to social media game is already probably horrendous.
Social media, you know, it's the devil. It's the devil. That's why I'm not on it.
He's fishing on a boat. I'm sorry, what? Last I checked, voluntary OTAs weren't happening at sea, Captain. And sure, it was a sponsored post, meaning that photo was probably taken weeks ago, but just posted now. But the optics are terrible. So he posts this photo of him fishing on a boat.
There's our buddy Austin Huff from Corked Bats. Nice little sports talk radio impersonation of Huff. When they do that? Yesterday?
It came out over the weekend. Yeah. So I really like the sidekick guy. So that's like me, right?
Yeah. Social media. That's why I'm not.
I love that guy. The sidekick guy is just like chiming in, man. That's good. Good stuff. What are you trying to say, Austin? What are you trying to say, Austin Huff? Anybody check it out at Cork Bats. The whole thing is pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Craig on the text line says, I hope Tannehill is recharged. A lot of games last year, he looked like he was running on a low battery. It's coming from Craig on the text line. Well done, Craig. That was good.
And I give a good joke by Johnny De Silveira. Celsius is an energy drink for Americans. He's in Canada. I guess I should start to work on a beverage called Fahrenheit for Canadians. Aha! There we go. I like it.
Wes on the text line says, if Tannehill really wanted to troll, he'd wear a fishing shirt and be drinking a Celsius at his press conference when he comes back for the Titans media. That'd be something.
Well, he perhaps, maybe a Celsius, not a bad idea with him on the podium. And Nick Saban's got his Coke. What was it? Trey Young the other day had some beverage. They were like, Trey, please take that. I was like, yeah, I'll take the fine. Yeah, give me the fine. I don't care. not officially NBA sponsored, but whatever.
My favorite maybe Saban is like, he never drinks the Coke, but he always, you know, at some point, if you make him mad enough, he'd be like, ask questions to this bottle. Just take this bottle because I'm done talking about it. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate you.
Yeah, that's his little friend. LD, we've talked about this a lot, but see, that's the thing. So here's a question for me as it relates to this from LD from McMinnville on the text line. Can't wait for that first Tannehill interception, especially at a home game. It's going to be interesting. We've talked about that quite a bit. So does something like this, because again, we all have different reactions. I personally laugh at this. I think it's hilarious. And I think it's like it's just showing a little bit. To me, it's showing a little bit of, one, personality, two, acknowledgement of the situation, right? Like he's not completely in a cave here. I mean, and, you know, you knew that was the case. But it's an acknowledgement of that. I think it's great. And I don't think it affects – I mean, it's going to come down to his performance on Sundays. That's it. But does something like this – further anger. And I'm not talking about people. There are some people who are so out on Tannehill, Jared, that whatever happens, they're going to find a way to make it something that makes him worse, right? Like they're so I'm not talking about those people. Those people are out all the way already. But for the Titans fan who's sort of, you know, disappointed in how he played, as you should be, questioning whether he can get you there, as you should be, but still not like purely like throwing darts at a Tannehill face dartboard, does this make you feel worse about him, or does this anger you more? Does this make you more upset at him?
I mean, I don't know. Do I think this is going to matter a week from now? No, I don't. If you're mad at him in August or September when he throws his first interception, are you going to think back to the Celsius Instagram post? Probably not. What you're probably going to think back to is the Cincinnati game, where all of the anger really generates from Tannehill to begin with, is the three interceptions, how he handled the press conference after, how he did not even show up to have a press conference the day after that. And I think those things matter more than this. Now, to your point, there are some people that are just so far out on Tannehill that this is just more fuel to the fire. And if you're out on Tannehill, I get it. I mean, I don't begrudge you whatsoever for being out on Tannehill. But it goes back to what I said last week to the voluntary workout part of this. If Tannehill doesn't throw three interceptions in a playoff game last year and doesn't show up to voluntary workouts, nobody cares. But because he threw three interceptions in a playoff game and wasn't very good last year, that's why people care about this. I don't think for those on the fence, the Celsius Instagram ad is going to be the thing that pushes them over one way or the other.
I think it will create the opportunity for more like creative barbs. Like, you know, would you think you were throwing a line to a Marlin? You know, when he throws a pick,
yeah.
You know? So like you'll have like some people may refer to it, but yeah, I'm tipping the cap to him. I think it's funny, and you know, I also think that this is one thing that you separate out, and him being in the building is another thing, and he should probably get there soon.
Liam on the text line says, I have to think the energy drink must not be any good. What kind of smart business decision involves paying Ryan Tannehill for an endorsement right now? I think I'll just stick with Diet Coke. It's coming from Liam on the text line. So Liam saying, since Tannehill's the spokesperson for Celsius, must not be very good.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. I'd say Liam's out on Tannehill.
I'd say so.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes can't do every ad. He is still an NFL quarterback, right?
He is. Missed out on the match, though. It's going to be Brady and Rodgers versus Allen and Mahomes. No Tannehill invite.
That's a shame. That's a shame. Yeah, Brady and Rodgers together. You going to watch that?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you?
No.
Oh, man.
Probably not.
Could be two of your favorite people playing golf together. We'll continue
maybe,
to take your thoughts.
Catch a little of it.
Take your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got an interesting question I want to ask about the draft coming up here in just a few minutes. But, Joe, I want to start with this. We asked a bunch of percentage questions to David Beauclair on Friday. I want to turn that around on you. As we sit here the week of the draft, just a few days away from the first round, by position, what percentage do you think the Titans could be going with in the first round, and are you shifting to it being more likely that it's an interior offensive lineman rather than a wide receiver? Because I was pretty heavy on the wide receiver train this time 2-3 weeks ago.
Well, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to answer that unless I know how it goes before them, you know. But I think if one of those receivers they really like drops, then you know I think they could be that, and you know maybe those two, especially those two guards who a lot of people think are going to be first rounders, if they're gone, okay, then you know. But if one of them is there, then I like them to do that. I mean, I think it's most of my percentage would go toward those two spots. I guess I'd probably go a little bit more interior offensive lineman because I just feel like there's going to be a run on receivers before it gets to them. That's just my guess. Now, there could be a run on a lot of things, but before you get to 26, but that would be my guess that you know, like if you're down to like Dotson and Watson on the receiver front, as much as I like Watson, then I think that increases the opportunity to take a lineman. Of course, I also think the Titans would bail out if given the opportunity.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a possibility they could do that. I think a lot of the fan base is hoping for wide receiver. I think more and more the likely pick is interior offensive lineman. I think they need an interior offensive lineman. I think they're going to try to use Dylan Raidens as the right tackle. And I if I had to nail down a percentage on it, I would go 59%. It's an interior offensive lineman with their first round pick. 59%. What do you think about that?
Wow, that's a big percentage. Okay, so if we're doing – okay, well, I would do more – I mean, I think I'm adding up a total of probably about 85% between the two. I'd probably go more like 45 – probably go 45 interior offensive linemen, 40 receiver. Well, how about 47 and third – and four –
Shout out to Michigan Good State God. Math.
Yes, exactly. 47 and 38? Yeah. Yeah.
Nailed it.
47 and 38. Interior offensive lineman receiver. Then it's like the rest of the 15 is like offensive tackle and then, you know, like 5% quarterback. So 10% offensive tackle, 5% quarterback. How about that?
Joe, I've got an interesting question I want to get your thoughts on when we come back. Are Titans fans less interested in this draft than they have been in years past, in your mind? We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Nashville's best deal of the week is Penne Pizza in L&L Market in West Nashville. Penne Pizza is Nashville's best and most authentic Italian restaurant serving fresh, farm-to-table dishes. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $30 gift card to Penne Pizza while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Joe, I want to throw this question out to you because it's something that has been tossed around the last couple of weeks. I know Darren's talked about this. I know some others have talked about this as well in terms of the draft, the interest level from Titans fans. Now, it's the NFL draft, okay? So there's always going to be a baseline of interest level when it comes to the draft, and that baseline is pretty darn high. I will say, though, I do kind of get the vibe from maybe even our text line a little bit that the draft maybe just not quite as much of a priority for Titans fans this year. And I think maybe there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, the last two first-round picks have not gone well. We'll see what happens with Caleb Farley, but the early returns on Caleb Farley weren't good last year, and we all know about Isaiah Wilson and what happened there. And you're still a few months removed away from just a gut-wrenching loss at home to the Cincinnati Bengals when you're the one seed, and I don't know. It just kind of feels like you missed your window there if you're the Titans with what happened in that Cincinnati game. Do you get the sense that maybe there's a little less passion, a little less give a crap about the draft this year with the Titans and their fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the things you laid out there make sense. I mean, I'm trying to think of in recent drafts, well, you had one that was here, so that was a different level of excitement. And
that helps.
You had, I mean, in the John Robinson era. In the John Robinson era, of course, when you're really bad, the draft is really exciting, right? When you're really bad, you got the number one overall pick and you trade that, you know, but you still, you know, you've got all kinds of picks and you're just trying to rebuild your team. Then you, the next year, as part of that deal, you have two first round picks. You have a top five pick. So I think that, you know, back then, the draft. The draft is still, to me, it's a bigger deal for the bad teams. It's a bigger deal for the teams that are at the top of the draft, trying to see if they can get, you know, a foundational player, and in a lot of cases, the quarterback, the future. And I think you're right with the Titans. One, the draft hasn't gone as well. And look, when you're, like it or not, I think fans are somewhat bored by offensive linemen draft picks. You know? Now, they're very important. It's a line of scrimmage game. It always has been. It always will be. But that's maybe part of it, too. There's just no clear. I think the intrigue here comes from, one, is it possible they take a quarterback?
Yep.
And then, I mean, I think the receiver, I think there are a lot of exciting receivers in there. But as you've pointed out, probably more likely that they take an offensive lineman. Especially if you add the percentages, I don't know what your percentage is on tackle, but you got 59% interior offensive line. What's your offensive tackle percentage?
I think my offensive lineman percentage was just 59%.
So, oh, okay.
But I don't think it's likely they take a tackle. I mean, I guess they could, but doesn't it feel like to you that they're starting to view Radunz as the right tackle? Like, I'd be pretty surprised if it was purely a tackle pick. Maybe they're replacing Taylor Lewan.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the part of the case for that is, okay, and then it's someone who can be in the left tackle spot, even if you do think Dylan Radunz can be your long-term right tackle. You know, maybe Penning is there, the Northern Iowa kid. He's there. You're not expecting him to be there. He's there. He's at the top of your board. Like, get him. I mean, it's the best player on the board. You know, I think that's possible. But I think that probably all combines to make this a little bit less exciting. And again, you're talking NFL terms. You got to still put it in perspective. I'd say there's still way more interest in and following of this draft than any other. I understand, you know, diehard Preds fans following that draft, or Nashville, whatever, you know, I don't even know what the heck they do exactly. But you know, there's nothing like the NFL draft. So it's still a totally different level to me than any of the other sports drafts. It's a huge television event.
By far.
You know, 70. What was the stat I just saw the other day of the top like 200 television shows in America in the last year? 75 of them were NFL games.
Yeah.
Of the top 200, zero of the top 200 were any other sport. So you start there too.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a, relatively speaking, there's still a massive level of interest in the NFL draft. I'm not saying that. It just feels to me like maybe the Titans fan base is a little beat up a little bit, and they're still down from the Cincinnati loss. Like, I'm interested to see. We talked about this last year. The crowd, I thought, was really good for the most part all year long. It was a lot of Titans fans, even though depending on who you ask, that Bills fan, apparently the entire city of Buffalo showed up for the Bills game. But other than that, I mean, there were a lot of Titans fans for mostly every game last year. I'm interested to see, especially with some of the teams that are coming in next year, like the Cowboys, does that change? Is the excitement level going to be near the same? Is it going to be totally gone with this Titans team? I'm interested to see how that goes, because I do feel like there are some Titans fans that look at this and say, man, last year was it, and if they didn't win it that year, they're not winning it anytime soon, and it's just hard to get excited about that.
Oh, I think you're definitely going to see a step back. I don't think totally gone or anything like that. I think it'll still be good. But last year you had, one, just a team overall that looked like it had a chance to be a contender. And the Julio Jones thing was huge. It's even a year later, or less than a year from the acquisition later, you know, it's funny to say that because of how things went. But the Julio Jones thing was – like around the league, this could be the most lethal offense. So not only did you expect to have a really good team, you expected to have maybe the most exciting offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
You averaged 31 points a game the year before, and now you're swapping out Corey Davis for Julio Jones. Heck yes. Sign the Titans fans up for that. So that's all gone now. Now, look, could be a better team, could be a better offense. Robert Woods could be a better fit and twice as productive as Julio Jones. Doesn't bring the same. Robert Woods is not a shoe-in Hall of Famer who, for a decade, was the best receiver in the game. So that factor alone is gonna take it down. And then, as you said, you have that loss. You blew that opportunity. You had it all laid out for you. The rest of the AFC is loading up. On paper, you don't look like – I mean, you look like a team that certainly can win your division, but you don't look like a contender in the AFC right now. So I think it's going to be a pretty significant step back in terms of atmosphere.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. LD from McMinnville texting in says, my opinion regarding fans in the draft, fans are anticipating the Titans draft an offensive lineman. It's not sexy. This is coming from LD from McMinnville on the text line. Chris on the text line says, I just hope we get to hear Mark Howard laughing at Stillman again after our pick is announced. That clip is the definition of radio gold. This is coming from Chris on the text line.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be some savable audio from draft night with Jared. Robert, all Tannehill has done on the text line. How about this? All Tannehill has done since he's been in Nashville is win. 31-14, people. That's a lot of winning. Titans fans suck because they are front runners. What have you done for me today? Especially Jared. Pull up what he said a couple years ago. Let's go back to 2012. Titans fans, y'all should be more appreciative of their team. Rob Dog 417. So hey, I always like the counterpoint. I think maybe Rob's going a little far there. You know, I think Titans fans have every right to be upset with Tannehill and be dubious of Tannehill as a guy who can get this team to a Super Bowl. But as far as the screaming about every little thing he does and finding some way to turn it into an absolute episode of Days of Our Lives, that may be going a little far.
Well, and I wonder, going back to the draft conversation, how much of the, I guess, and this is just totally, I have no numbers to back this up, this is just my feel of it. How much of my perceived maybe lack of interest from Titans fans in the draft this year stems from the fact that Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback as they move forward, and the Titans have made that pretty clear, at least for next year.
Yeah, look, I think that all ties together. There's just less excitement in general. I mean, so let's say they do draft a quarterback, which, again, I think is a low percentage chance. I'm not putting zero. It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. Let's say they do. So what's the overall fan reaction to that?
Well, there will be some excitement. I think they know if they do that, he's not playing, at least to begin this year, unless Tannehill just goes absolutely in the tank. And I also think the other part of this, Joe, is we're getting told left and right that this quarterback class isn't any good. So if you're a Titans fan, are you really that jacked up about one of these quarterbacks? Because it's not going to be Kenny Pickett, I don't think. It's not going to be Malik Willis, I don't think. So, like, if the Titans go out and draft Matt Corral, you going to be fired up about that if you're a Titans fan? I don't know. Maybe some people probably will be. I know that after he gets drafted, Titans fans will certainly talk themselves into being fired up about Matt Corral. But I think that's part of it, too, is there's not a high opinion of this draft class at quarterbacks either.
Right, and then let me look. I still think most or a lot of Titans fans are on board with the, okay, look at everything Ryan's done. Be great around him, as Vrabel said. Go get him better protection. Get him another weapon. Get him a tight end. And it's not like there's no chance of him, having a good year and at least being in position again to atone in the playoffs. So if you draft the QB now, you're sort of in this in-between, sort of like, okay, so I don't know. I guess you could throw competitive rebuild out on the Titans too then, you know? But the people who are absolutely like Tannehill is the devil would be excited.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rex Rhodes' rant of the day. And I got some tickets to give away to see the Eagles at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Thursday night. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Thursday night. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Kokomo bringing us back in this time. Joseph, I turn things over to you.
All right, today we're going to talk about, thank you for the beautiful song. It continues to grow on me.
Listen, so we see your little sunburnt cheeks. We're all a little sunburnt, so I had to do a little Kokomo.
Just to clarify, cheeks on his face.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. The live stream has not gone that far off the rails yet. So today I'm going to talk. This is probably one of those, like, occasionally you just bring it back. I was going to do a rant about could care less and couldn't care less, but I don't remember if I've done that exact one or not yet.
I don't think so, but that's a good one.
The grammar rants, you know, those kind of come in, but come and go. But today I want to talk about name, image, likeness again. And it's just, I feel like every once in a while, it's like, you just gotta, you know, like enough dumb stuff is said and you're just like, oh, please. All right. Let me talk about this. So first of all, it's getting interesting for sure. You've got Nigel Pack, K-State transfers to Miami. So I guess it's his lawyer, John H. Ruiz, attorney at law, tweets this out. You know, Nigel is officially committed. It says the biggest life wallet deal to date. 2 years, $800,000. That's $400,000 per year plus a car. Congratulations to Nigel Pack. And so a lot of reaction to this. I mean, it's just saying, put it out there. Here's the deal for Nigel Pack to go to Miami. A lot of people freaking out about this. A lot of, you know, Nicole, friend of the show, says a bunch of administrators have sent me this the past day. Feels like a new level reach in rapidly changing space. And it is. And I do agree. There was a really interesting thread. I referred to it last week. David Hale, you know, is a really good writer about college sports for ESPN. And he brought a really good point that we are calling everything name, image, likeness, right? When technically name, image, likeness should be, you know, the value is the player creates the value and then someone wants to get in on that, which we see a lot. I mean, we've seen a lot of that too. You see a John Fulkerson at Tennessee. I mean, you see Paige Beckers, right? You know, we've seen a lot of like what it's supposed to be.
Mike Honcho.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Honcho. I mean, like all the, and we'll continue to see that. Okay. You're also going to continue to see basically pay for play. But again, I must ask everyone, if you've paid attention to college sports at all over decades, did you honestly not think that was going to happen? Like, people are still reacting like this is some kind of shock. Again, I mean, Nick Saban actually saying out loud, like, oh, pay players to go play somewhere, huh? I mean, you got to be kidding, man. Like, we already knew how business was done in the SEC. This is more money for sure. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And to me, that's not a bad thing. Now, David Hill's point is, it's irresponsible of media to call those things, you know, name, image, likeness. That's what they want you to call it, right? Because it's like, well, name, image, likeness. And it really is just like, okay, here at Texas A&M, we got in our collective, we got $2 million set aside for, you know, offensive guards. So go get some offensive guards and they'll get X amount of money. I mean, that's what it is. But again, I ask you, are you seriously, one, acting surprised, and do you actually, two, think that this is a change from the way things are done? The only change is boosters who maybe sent a little bit over here to the bag man and then a bunch over here because they got to build the new statue are now like, you know what, I'm going to take more of this to the collective because, like, that Tennessee collective is, they got like 38 mil. And at Alabama, we cannot have less than Tennessee's collective. So more of my money is going there. That really is the change. And so, like, David Hale's right that we're all like, we should probably distinguish. But ultimately, to me, I don't really care. It's about being paid for your value in an open market, which is what everybody in this country should be allowed to do. It's still the same bottom line. And the occasional freaking out about this that we're getting is just bothersome to me. Another thing that David Hale point he makes is this is basically like employment, right? But I disagree. And if we're going to go down that road, I'll say this again. I'll say it a million times. If we're going to go down the road of labor management, salary, labor, laws and all that stuff, then college athletics ends.
I would agree. Now, I will also say, you know, we had conversations back when this all first began about how the NIL part of this, it's really not going to be that much money. And it's only going to be for a few guys and gals out there who play. I think it's becoming pretty obvious that that's not the case. I mean, there's a 3-star defensive tackle just made $500,000. The money on this is a lot bigger than I think a lot of people expected that it would be. Does that settle down at some point? Maybe. But in order to get these recruits, the money I think is already that's being thrown around way bigger than a lot of people anticipated.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I mean, like that particular deal is an eye opener. But it's so that 3-star defensive back, so he got $500,000 over 4 years, right?
Yeah.
So whatever that is, let's do some more Michigan State math. 125 a year, 125K a year.
Nailed it.
So yeah, thank you. You know, but I'm still going to go back to, okay, so that guy wants to be in the NFL, right? I mean, that's the whole idea. If you're good enough to be recruited, then, you know, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of most people who play D1 think they have a chance to be a pro. Sure. Right now, there's a lot of delusion there because most of them don't, like a very tiny percentage actually will, but that's your goal and you're trying to work toward that. So if you're that kid who got that, that's awesome. I mean, that's, you're going to be set, you know, for school. And if you don't do anything else, then like good for you. But in terms of how it relates to decision-making, first of all, if all the collectives get this kind of money to give out stuff to even like your good recruits, but not your top quarterback recruits. Well, then I still think you're making a decision like what place can develop me, you know, to be a pro. I mean, that's still your goal, and it's still way more money, on a rookie deal, even as a lower pick than that is, you know. But I mean, you're right. The money is. I just think the money that boosters did for other stuff is going to be this. So overall, there's going to be a lot more money for college athletes. And I'm sorry. Yay. That's all I got to say about it. Good. Cause I'd rather see them get the money. And I know there's problem as a young person. I would have had problem if I had a bunch of money when I was 19, I admit that, but you know, you also can hire someone to take care of your money and you can do things with it. And that should be part of this too, is the education of taking care of your money should already be in every single college athletics program in the country.
I am interested to see if this slows down at all, because I mean, we've talked about the $8 million quarterback and all these other, you know, the money that just gets thrown around. Well, obviously a lot of these guys, when you're paying these guys this much money, it's not going to work out and it's going to seem like an overpayment. Now, does that stop you from trying to get the next guy? I don't know. Like, I'm interested to see if this slows down in terms of just the amount of money that's being thrown around, because some of it, I mean, you're talking millions of dollars and some of them for non-quarterbacks, which is just amazing to me.
Yeah. Well, you're no doubt. And I think, you know, in the old way, one thing you heard about, and I've heard about a lot of things from a lot of different programs, is there a lot of like the, you know, illicit extra benefits had to do after players get to campus. So it is performance based. Yeah. You know, you hear about, I mean, I know about some college football players who got, you know, a few $100 bills in the locker after a great performance, things like that, you know, which of course, I mean, that makes sense. Like you're like, hold on, don't just throw everything out front. But then it's more like the 5-star quarterback everybody wants, the Jadeveon Clowney, whoever that everybody wants. Well, that's where bidding wars happen before they even get to campus. Now I do feel like it's more like we got to get this, this, this. We have to raise this much money, and then you funnel it out. And it's a great question. The thing is, I think like David Ubben pointed out, I've always thought, yeah, there's going to be some market correction. I think there will to some extent. But then again, if the last five-star QB you paid $8 million to stinks, does that mean you're just like, yeah, let's just take a three-star and just, you know, roll the dice? Probably not, right?
Probably not. Frank on the text line says, this is an epic week for Rex Road. Journey, Toto, Eagles, and Bon Jovi at Bridgestone. This is coming from Frank on the text line.
Really? All separately?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Say that again. I knew the Eagles were playing.
Journey,
I knew Bon Jovi was playing.
Eagles and Bon Jovi. This comes
from
Frank.
Toto is not playing Bridgestone solo. Come on, man.
Just telling you what Frank said on the text line.
Maybe they're opening for somebody.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. I knew the Eagles. Yeah. I would have loved to have gone to that. Can't, but that's going to be great. Bon Jovi, take or leave it. Actually, I would check out some Toto. You got me intrigued.
We'll have to see. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they look ahead to the NFL draft. Get his thoughts on the Preds in the final week of the regular season as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.